Blog Talk Radio.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me. Lord, deliver me. 'Cause all I see to do is hurt me.
Yes, sir.
Hurt me.
I know we should be finishing, but take it from me two more times.
Yeah!
Amen, amen, amen. This is my Exodus. This is my Exodus. God bless you. Thank you so much. And welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am Apostle Elect Donnell Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis. Of course, we have with us none other than our co-host, none other than Pastor Elect Kashima Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis. We're just excited that you guys decided to stop by this morning and to share on this morning with us this great, great, great word that the Lord has allowed for us to be able to share, this great broadcast that He has allowed to share with you on this morning, this great assignment that God has allowed us to be able to be a part of. We thank God for just this opportunity, for this chance to come and to share with you on this morning. As always, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much for all that you do. And ask that you continue to like and share the broadcast. Amen. Like and share the broadcast on this morning. Let those that your loved ones and friends and neighbors know that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air right now and that we are live. This is not a pre-recorded program. This is actually a live broadcast. We're doing this live. So remember to share that number. That number is 563-999-3628. Press 1. And when you press 1, that alert us to let us know that you want to have prayer, or maybe you want to share your testimony, or maybe you just want to share how the broadcast has blessed you. We would be excited. I'm telling you, we would be excited to have you guys come alongside with us and to be a part of what we're doing here today. This is our Freestyle Friday portion of the broadcast on the day. You never know what you're going to get on our Freestyle Friday broadcast. You never know. You might get a little teaching, you might get a little preaching, you might get a praise break, you might get an entrepreneur, you might get a business owner, you might get a seamstress, a tailor. You may get anything on Freestyle Friday. But everybody that we bring on, ladies and gentlemen, we bring them on because we want you to know that they're in your community, they're in your area. They give you a way of getting in contact with them if you're not here in the state or the city that they're in. And they could be able to, maybe their product could be shipped to you or sent to you, or maybe they could send you some samples or something or whatever the deal is and let you know how to get a hold of the product. But we make sure that we open up this window, this door for those that come on and be a part of what we do on our Freestyle Friday broadcast. Amen? Amen. So listen, as always, guys, we want to make sure that we acknowledge all of our countries and share our prayer and our scripture on this morning and just bless the name of the Lord. So let us pray. Let us talk to the Lord on this morning. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for your continued grace. We thank you for your continued mercy. We thank you for your wisdom and your power. Father, we thank you for all the things that you are doing in this time and in this season. Father, we ask that you do not let us lose sight in who you are. Let us not lose sight in what you have called us to be. Let us not lose sight in the wisdom and power that we have set and orchestrated for us to have on this morning. Father, we thank you for your word of wisdom and power and grace that has graced the atmosphere right now, God. God, that we'll be able to do what you have called for us to do. Let us not be weary and well-doing, but in all things, give your name praise, glory, and honor, for it is due just that. We pray for those that are under the sound of our voice this morning, touch and move by your power and by your strength. Father, let them know that all things are working together for their good. God, even though the situation may not be ideal right now, but Father, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they can ask. I think the only thing they have to do is just trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding. In all their ways, acknowledge you, and you will for surely direct their path. And for that, Father, we give your name praise. For that, God, we give your name glory. For that, we give your name honor. For that, we give your name dominion. And we say, take the reins of it right now. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus, do we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. So let us go ahead on and acknowledge those countries that are listening in on this morning. We have the United States, we have Canada, we have Brazil, we have Ghana, we have Zimbabwe, we have Nigeria, we have Kenya, we have South Africa, we have Jamaica, we have Russia, we have Germany, we have Bulgaria, we have China, we have Hong Kong, we have Mexico, we have the United Kingdom, and we have Saudi Arabia. And we thank God for each and every last one of you guys that are listening in and partnering up with us on a day-to-day basis. We want to let those missionaries and that are over in the country right now, especially those over in Afghanistan, those missionaries that are there, we want you to know that we are praying for you and we're praying with you. We thank God for just this opportunity to do what God has called you to do. We realize and understand that it is a very difficult place for you right now, but we know that you're covered by God. You're covered by our Lord and Savior. His hand of mercy and his hand of grace is on your life. Fear not for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen is eternal. Know that you're eternal God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of joy and peace, the God of strength, the God of wisdom, is yet in control. It may not seem like it right now because of the task. It's very difficult to come. The situation is very difficult. The place that you're in is very difficult. But know that God has his hand on you. And we're praying. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. God will turn the tide for you. He'll turn the tide for you. He'll turn the tide for you. He'll make it work on your behalf. Amen? Amen. So we want to make sure that you guys know that we are praying for you. Our scripture this morning is Psalms 1 and 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. Amen. Listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And remember, guys, we're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the God, through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis. So we're here for you. So call that call in, 563-999-3628. Those of you all that are listening in and need prayer, call in. We'll be glad to give you strength. Amen. We're glad to pray for you.
Glory, because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you.
Yeah. give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let it know.
I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell me.
Here I am. Here I am. So you can use me.
I give myself away.
Show me your face, fill up this space, my world needs you right now, my world needs you right now, I can't escape being afraid, fill me with you. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you.
Bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see. And God, please fix me. Let us see you right now. My world needs you.
Why I'm not ashamed to say.
Yokes to be destroyed under the weight of your glory. I thank you in advance for you doing that which you do best. So show up and show out. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Gospel according to St. Mark quickly. Gospel according to St. Mark quickly. Chapter number 8. Hallelujah. St. Mark chapter number 8. I'm an expository preacher. In other words, I like to do directly with the text. Upon my completion of exegeting the text to the best of my ability, I go to my seat. I would that everyone stand in reverence to the reading of the word. It's indeed my custom that whenever the word is read, we stand. And there's a reason why we stand, family. The reason why we stand is because when a judge walks in the door, you have to stand in reverence of his or her office. And if you don't stand in reverence of their office, you can be found in contempt of court, fined, and or thrown in jail. And I just believe if I can stand for somebody who didn't die so that I can live, you ought to be able to stand for the word of God for at least a few moments. The only ones that should be sitting there are those who are physically unable to stand. I believe that you would reverence the word of God with me. We're reading from the King James Version, Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 8, verse 22. When you get there, just holler at me. Say, I got it. Know what it says. It says, and he cometh to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon him again and made him look up. And he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Let's look at that again. The text says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of town. And the text declares, and when he had spit in his eyes, put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon him again and made him look up. And he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. I just want to look at something real quick, because the text says something extremely profound, I think, that we need to examine for a few moments. The writer says that he came to a particular city by the name of Bethsaida, and when he got there, that they brought a blind man unto Jesus. And the first thing Jesus does is he takes him out of town and he spits in the man's face. After spitting in the man's face, he lays hands on him and asked him, what did he see? The man responded, I see men as trees walking. But then the Bible says he lays hands on him again and he saw every man clearly. Y'all missed it one more time. There was this blind guy that they brought to Jesus, and the reason why they brought him to Jesus is because they wanted Jesus to touch him. The Bible says that Jesus reaches out, takes him by the hand, leads him out the city. When he gets him out the city, he spits in the man's face, lays hands on him, asks him, what did he see? He responds, I see men as trees walking. But then the text says he lays hands on him again, and he saw every man clearly. Y'all missed it one more time. There was this blind bra that they brought to Jesus. And the reason why they brought him to Jesus is because they wanted Jesus to touch him. The Bible says that Jesus reaches out, takes him by the hand, leads him out the city. When he gets him out the city, he spits in the man's face, lays hands on him, asks him a crazy question. He says, what do you see? The Bible says, I see men as trees walking. But then the text declares that he lays hands on him again, and he saw every man clearly. Last time, y'all missed it one more time. There was this blind dude that they brought to Jesus. And the reason why they brought him to Jesus, because they wanted Jesus to touch him. And the Bible says that the first thing Jesus does, reaches out, takes him out of the hand, leads him out of the city. When he gets him out of the city, he spits in the man's face and then lays hands on him, asks him a very simple question. He says, what do you see? The man declares, he says, I see men as trees walking. But then the text declares that he lays hands on him again, and he saw every man clearly. If I could, I just want to talk to you from this particular thought. Just touch somebody, look him in the face, and tell them, he's adjusting my vision. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Just touch your neighbor and say, he's adjusting my vision. Some of y'all still looking at me. Before you take your seat, touch your neighbor again. Tell him and say, he is adjusting my vision. Now, he's adjusting my vision. You may be seeing the presence of the Lord today. He's adjusting my vision. Understand you here, dear brothers and my dear sisters, all of you who are a part of the household of faith, indeed, because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which has in turn made us all heirs and again joined heirs, I I have often heard, Bishop Van, I've often heard it argued, if you will, that reality is not an absolute. I've often heard it argued, Bishop Van, that reality, that it isn't an absolute, that each of us as individuals, that we have our own perception, if you will, of reality. The implication, beloved brothers and sisters, is that because each of us as individuals perceive the world through our own eyes, that reality itself changes from person to person. While it is true, family, that reality is a perception of each and every individual, that we all perceive reality differently, we need to understand that reality could literally care less about our individual perceptions. The reason why I can care less about our individual perceptions is because reality does not change, if you will, to adapt to our personal viewpoints. The fact of the matter is that reality is what it is. Reality is fact. Reality is truth. However, reality, beloved brothers and sisters, is not always known. And because reality is not always known, that is where perception of reality comes in. While reality, without question, is a fixed factor in the equation of life, it is important that we understand that perception of reality is a variable. This is why it is so very important that we begin to learn to differentiate between a principle and an opinion. Just tell somebody he's going somewhere. The most significant aspect, if you will, of a principle is that it is neither, that it can neither be created nor can it be altered. Thus, beloved brothers and sisters, a principle is the very essence of reality. It is what it is. And it is up to us as individuals to learn how to discover, if you will, or to learn to discover what that principle actually is. The problem, however, arises when we as people refuse to accept the reality that the principle can only be discovered. Instead, we choose to believe that we can create our own principles, which means that we believe that we can create our own realities. And that is a belief, beloved brothers and sisters, that can lead to a disastrous consequences and also can lead to major error. You all are sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, why in the world is he discussing, if you will, reality versus principle? Why is he arguing, if you will, principle versus opinion? What does that have to do with the scriptural text that he is sharing today? Well, it has everything to do with the conversation that we're about to have, beloved brothers and sisters. And the reason why it has everything to do with the conversation is because I believe that this is the problem that is happening in the 21st century church. What I believe, beloved brothers and sisters, is that people are choosing to try to create their own principles rather than to discover the principle of what the Word has revealed that cannot be altered. In other words, family, I believe that the church in this day and time in which we live in, that they are trying to create a perception of God that is not reality. And that is why we are dealing with some of the things that we are dealing with in this 21st century age. It's because we as individuals have made a decision that rather than following the principles that Scripture teaches us that cannot be altered, that we are deciding to come up with our own opinions of His principles. And we decide that we're going to shift things and make them work out for our benefit rather than allowing the Word to do what it does. Y'all looking at me strange, so let me make it perfectly clear. The problem that God has with many of us as 21st century believers is that we're bending the Word to our will rather than us bending our will to His Word. I wish y'all would talk to me for a few moments. So what God is sharing for us to understand most importantly today is that because of the simple fact that we as individuals are coming up with our own principles as it pertains to Scripture, because we as individuals have locked God in the box, and that is the reason why we can't get the breakthroughs that we desire. Because we as individuals have locked God in a box, that's the reason why we can't get the deliverance that we are passionately pursuing. Because the same God that can heal a headache can heal cancer. I can't get no help up in here. So what God is desiring more than anything else to do is He's saying that I'm tired of you all perceiving me the way that you want to see me. So what I have to do in this season of your life is I have to take you through a process of adjustment. And the reason why I got to take you through this process of adjustment, because I need you to see me the way I desire to be seen. Because if you see me the way that I desire to be seen, I will position you so that the rest of your days will be the best of your days. Can I talk to y'all for a few moments? So, beloved brothers and sisters, as we begin to look at this particular passage of Scripture, it literally begins to expose to us the process of God. And see, herein lies the challenge, family, because many of us struggle with God's process. And the reason why we struggle with the process of God is because of the simple fact that we live in a microwave age. Because we live in a microwave age, we don't want to have to go through how God takes us through process. Because process is something that takes time. And many of us struggle with God taking time. But the reason why God takes the time that he takes is because he wants to make sure and he wants to ensure that when he blesses you with what he desires, that not only are you mature enough to handle it, but that you have the capacity to hold on to it. Can I talk to y'all for a little while? So touch somebody and say, he's taking me through the process. I know you've been wondering why in the world has it not happened as fast as it's supposed to happen. It's because God is trying to do something in your life to make sure that you view him the way he desires to be viewed. So that's what's happening in this text, because when we begin to look at this particular passage of Scripture, Bishop Van, what's so mind-blowing is that the text begins to let us know that there are three central theme figures in this particular passage. Three central theme figures. The first central theme figure in this particular passage of Scripture is known to us by name. His name is Jesus Christ. The second central theme figure in this text is not identified by his name, but he is identified by his disability. The text begins to let us know that he was a blind man. But then the third central theme figure in this text is not one individual, but it's a group of individuals, and it is the individuals that decided to bring the blind man to Jesus. The reason why this is so very important, because let me deal with the last group of individuals. The Bible begins to let us know that there was a group of individuals that decided, watch this, to bring this blind man to Jesus. Now, the Bible says nothing to us about this particular group of individuals. It does not identify each individual by name, but it does say that they brought the blind man to Jesus. Let me pause here for a minute, because it doesn't tell us if they liked the blind man. It doesn't tell us if they was concerned about the blind man. It doesn't tell us anything about that. It just says that they brought the blind man to Jesus. So we can assume one of two things. We can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they loved him. We can assume they brought the blind man to Jesus because they cared about him. We can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they was concerned about him. Or we can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they were sick of him. We can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they was tired of enabling him. We can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they was tired of trying to help him. The emphasis here is not why they brought him, but the exciting thing is that they brought him. The reason why that's so important is because this is Fab Five Sunday. And I want you to understand that everybody that brought you here didn't bring you here because they was concerned about you. Somebody brought you here because they were sick of you. But it don't make no difference why they brought you. You ought to just be glad that they brought you. So the Bible begins to tell me, I'm going to get to your song in a minute. I promise you I'm going to get to your song before the day is over with. So the Bible begins to tell us something extremely profound. Walk with me in the text. First Lady, the Bible says that they bring the blind man to Jesus. And when they bring the blind man to Jesus, the text begins to let us know something profound, Bishop Man. It tells us that when they bring the blind man to Jesus, that Jesus begins to function in his purpose by executing process. God is quiet. I'm going to say it one more time. They bring the blind man to Jesus, and when they bring the blind man to Jesus, Jesus begins to function in his purpose, rather, by executing process. How does he function in his purpose by executing process? I'm so very glad you asked me. The first thing that Jesus does is he reaches out, takes him by the hand, and leads him out the city. Y'all missed it. One more time. I'm going to say, they bring the blind man to Jesus. And when they bring the blind man to Jesus, Jesus makes a decision to function in process, a function in his purpose by executing process. How did he function in his purpose by executing process? The Bible says that the first thing that he does is that he reaches out, takes him by the hand, and leads him out the city. Okay, I gotta make it visual. Come here, man of God. Come here, man of God. Come here. I gotta make this thing visual because some of y'all ain't seeing it. Some of y'all ain't seeing it. Some of y'all ain't seeing it. I need you to stand here for me for a minute now. Now let me be honest with you. Let me be honest with you. You are going to be up here the entire message. You're gonna be up here the entire message. That you are not going anywhere. I know you did not volunteer, but I volunteered you for a specific reason. So walk with me now. Now walk with me now. Walk with me now. Let me see something. Let me see something. Let me see something. Yep, I got the right one. 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 Okay. Listen. He's blind. He's blind. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was unable to forecast his own future. Y'all slow. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he had to rely on other people's favor in order to thrive and survive. Y'all still didn't get it. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was inhaling and exhaling, but he was not living. Because without vision, people perish. So when they bring the blind man to Jesus, the first thing Jesus does is he reaches out, takes him by the hand, and leads him out to the city. Y'all missed it. One more time. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he could not forecast his own future. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he had to rely on other people's favor in order to thrive and survive. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was breathing but not living. Because without vision, people perish. And the text says that the first thing Jesus does, reaches out, takes him by the hand, leads him out of the city. Y'all missed it. I saw it go past you. When I begin to read the text, I don't see nowhere in the text where Jesus asked the man about his condition. I don't see nowhere in the text where Jesus asked the man what he was dealing with. I don't see nowhere in the text where Jesus asked the man what he was going through. All I see is that when they brought the blind man to Jesus, Jesus did one thing. He reached for him. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so very glad that when my life was a mess, that Jesus didn't ask me a whole lot of questions, but he loved me enough to reach for me. When I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, I was staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters. He reached and lifted me. Just touch somebody and say, he reached for me. When my life was jacked up, he reached for me. And I need you to understand, that's the reason why you're here this morning. You're not here because you had it all together, but you're here because he loved you enough to reach and pull you out of some stuff. So watch this. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he could not forecast his own future. He's blind because of his inability to see. He was living, but he was breathing, but he was not living. Because without vision, people perish. He was blind. And because of his inability to see, he had to rely on other people's favor in order to thrive and survive. And the text declares that Jesus decides to reach for him and take him out the city. Now, I got to pause here for a minute because I don't see nowhere in the text, Bishop Van, where the man begins to resist his leading. I don't see nowhere in the text where the man began to ask Jesus, where are you taking me? I don't see nowhere in the text when the man begins to ask Jesus, what are you doing with me? All I see is by his actions, him saying, wherever you lead me, I would just straight up follow. And that's what God's trying to get some of y'all. He's trying to get you to stop asking questions. And he's trying to get you to a place where you trust wherever he's trying to take you. You're just going to go where he's trying to take you, the path. The text says that he leads him out of the city. Now here's my problem. Here's my problem. I promise you, I'm a teacher preacher. Y'all get me to it. I'll get you in a minute. Here's my problem. My problem was not that he led him out of the city. My problem is what he led him out of. Okay, listen. I'm trying to get y'all to see this. There's some things that he led him out of that I think that we need to examine for a moment. What did he lead him out of, Bishop? I'm so glad you asked me. The first thing that you would note and notice is that when Jesus took him out the city, the first thing he did was he removed him from his comfort zone. Whenever God is trying to adjust you, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to take you out of your comfortable space. Let me walk slow, because if you know anything about blind individuals, you will know to notice that a blind individual has to be in comfortable surroundings in order to navigate. Because if they find themselves in an uncomfortable surrounding trying to navigate, what will end up happening is they'll end up bumping into things. And not only will they end up bumping into things, but they will end up having some self-inflicted wounds. God is quiet in this Presbyterian church. That's why when you blind, you got to know that it's 24 upstairs. stairs. At 24 steps, you got to go up the stairs to the right in order to get your bedroom. You got to know that the kitchen is 25 steps to the left. When you're blind, you got to know where everything is. Why? Because if you don't know where everything is, you end up bumping into stuff and having some self-inflicted wounds. And see, that's the reason why some of y'all are messed up now. Because in your blind state, you tried to navigate in this thing called life. And then you begin to bump into things and hurt yourself and try to blame everybody else for the stuff that you hurt yourself with. They told you that Negro wasn't no good. They told you that he didn't take care of the other baby mama. But you were so in love, blinded by love, you end up bumping into that joker and your life has been a mess ever since the tax. Shows us number one, that he let him out of, mother, he let him out of that which was comfortable. But the second thing that happens, and I promise y'all, I'm going to get to your song in a minute, I promise you. The second thing that happens is that not only did he lead him out of his comfort zone, Bishop Man, but the second thing he did is he removed him from people that he thought he needed to thrive and survive. Y'all don't want to help me preach this morning. Touch somebody, look him in the face, say, I love you, but I don't need you. See, some of y'all missed that whole principle because, see, I don't need you because I love you. I love you, but I don't need you. In other words, if you walk off and leave me, I'm still going to survive. Why? Because as long as I got King Jesus, I don't... Just touch somebody and tell them, I got the right one, baby. Some of y'all still looking at me. I said, touch your doggone neighbor and tell them, say, you might walk off and leave me. You might dismiss me. You might stab me in my back, but he made me a promise that he would never leave me, nor will he forsake. I got a God. So hear me. Number one, when he led him out of the city, catch this, he removed him from that which was comfortable. And he took him away from people that he thought he needed to thrive and survive. So he gets him outside the city. Mind you, he's blind. And because of his inability to see, he could not forecast his own future. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was relying on people that did not have the power to deliver him. He's blind. Because of his inability to see, he was breathing, but he was not living, because without vision, people perish. He leads him out of the city, and he puts him out in the middle of nowhere. Catch this, First Lady. What's so mind-blowing is that he takes him out of his comfort zone, puts him in an isolated place, but he infuses himself in his isolated space. I know y'all thought y'all was going to get a concert this morning. I'm going to say it again. He takes him out of the city and puts him in an isolated place. But then he infuses himself in his isolated space. In other words, he may have been alone, but he was not alone. Okay, y'all missed it. So I'll go past you. See, some of y'all thought that when God isolates you, that he's just taking you away from people that you thought you needed. But what God is trying to get you to understand, that even when you by yourself, you're not by yourself. Stop walking around here talking about you don't have no friends in this world. You don't need a friend in this world. You need a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And as long as you got Jesus, you're going to make it. Just touch your neighbor right there and tell him, I'm going to make it through this. Oh, yeah, you need to touch him almost for the last time and tell him, say, I'm going to get through this, because he's already infused himself in my isolated space. Now, here is where stuff gets sticky. Because he removes him from his comfortable space. He puts him in an isolated place, infuses himself in his isolated space, but then he disrespects a man with a disability. Y'all need to read y'all Bible. It's in the text. Just read your Bible. The Bible says that Jesus gets him out in the middle of nowhere and makes a decision to spit in the man's face. I ain't going to spit on you, bro. I promise you. You all right, man of God. You from Detroit. You look like you're from the east side. I better not spit on you. I'm from Grand Rapids. I ain't got my gun with me today, I promise you. So catch this now. Jesus takes him out in the middle of nowhere, gets him out in an isolated place, infuses himself in his isolated space, and then makes a decision to disrespect him. Here's my problem. My problem is that Jesus disrespects a man with a disability. I wouldn't have had a problem if Jesus would have spit in the man's face while he could see. Because as Jesus prepares to... the man could have at least got out the way. I would not have had a problem, family, if he would have spit in the man's face while he was with his crew. My bad, I thought I was at Lighthouse, forgive me. While he was with his people. Because if he'd have spit in his face while he was with his crew, his folk could have either pulled him out the way or they could have blocked it. But Jesus waited till he got him out in the middle of nowhere where he was trusting him totally and completely to spit in his face when he could not see it coming. Y'all missed it. Let me try one more time. Jesus didn't spit in the man's face when he could see it. Because if he'd have spit in the man's face when he could see it, he could have got out the way. He didn't spit in the man's face while he was still with his crew. Because his crew could have blocked it. They could have pulled him out the way. But he waited till he got him out in an isolated place and infused himself in his isolated space and decided to spit in his face when he couldn't see it coming. One more time. Y'all gonna get it in a minute. I wouldn't have had a problem if he'd have spit in the man's face where he could see it coming because the man could have got out the way. I wouldn't have had a problem if he'd have spit in the man's face when the man was with his crew because his crew could have blocked it. They could have pulled him out the way. But he waited until he got into his isolated place and infused himself in his isolated space in order to spit in the man's face, catch this, when he couldn't see it coming. Y'all missed it. Let me drop the bomb on you. See, that's what God's about to do in your life. He said, the reason why I didn't do it in front of your folks, he said, because they would have tried to block what I was trying to do. They would have tried to pull you out the way. He said, but he waited till he got you out of the middle of nowhere. Because what he wanted to do is he wanted to do something that was ridiculous. He wanted to do something that was obscene. He wanted to do something that was so crazy that once it hit you, you would tell everybody, I didn't even see that coming. That's what God's about to do in your life. He's about to hit you with some stuff that you ain't seen coming. But you ain't going to even worry about how crazy it is because your mentality is going to be, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I wonder, is there anybody here under the sound of my voice that's ready for any way you bless me, bless it. God, it don't have to be special. It don't have to be great. It don't have to be wonderful. It can be nasty. It can be ridiculous. It can be obscene. But all I know is that when it's all said and done, I want what you got for me. Y'all looking at me crazy. Let me say it something like this. I'm in a position and I'm in a place now that I ain't going back and forth with you jokers. I'm trying to live my best life. And whatever God got to do for me to give my best life, do what you got to do to that.
Hear me.
He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he had to rely on other people's favor in order to thrive and survive. He's blind. Because of his inability to see, he could not forecast his own future. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was breathing, but he was not living. Because without vision, people begin to perish. So the text begins to say he leads him out the city, gets him out the city. And the Bible says that Jesus spits in his face, but then asked him a question. He said, what do you see? The text says that the man looked up. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. Am I right? If I'm not right in the Bible, tell me if I'm not right. The text says that when he spits in the man's face, that the man looked up. Y'all missed it. I saw it go past you. He spits in the man's face. The man looked up. What? Why is that so important? Because that would imply that there was no way possible that Jesus and the man were standing at the same level. If Jesus spits in the man's face and he looked up, that means that the man had to be in a different posture. If the man is in a different posture, that simply means that in order for him to look up, Jesus would have to change his shift and change his position. Spit in the man's face for the man to look up. And God sent me by here to tell you that if you want what I got, you got to humble yourself. And see, that's the reason why some of y'all ain't got your breakthrough. Because you're too busy trying to stay in the same position, thinking God's going to give you what he desire, what you desire. But touch your neighbor and say, humble yourself. Oh, you got to change your position. You got to get out of your flesh. You got to come out of your high-mindedness. Touch somebody, say, humble yourself. Bishop, I'm almost finished. I got to get to the airport. Let me just, I just want to get through this if I can. I'm going to sing their song, though. I got to get to their song. I really do. So the text says, the text says that he spits in the man's face. He lays hands on him. Y'all with me? And then he tells him, asks him, what do you see? Mother, the text says that he looked up and said, I see men in the streets walking. Now watch this. Here is my confusion. Biblical theologians and scholars say that the man's faith needed to be built up. That's why when he said, I see men in the streets walking, they're saying that his vision was literally, it was disturbed. His vision was not clear. They're saying that it was distorted. Theologians like Tillich say that it was distorted. Theologians like Brueggemann, they say it was distorted. Henry says it was distorted. Barnes says it was distorted. But I don't believe that his vision was distorted. I believe what Jesus did is that when he lays hands on him, he gave him too much. Y'all missed it, y'all see. How can you say that, Bishop? I can say that solely based upon when Jesus asked him, what did he see? He was extremely descriptive, First Lady, to what he saw. He didn't say, I think I see men. They possibly look like trees, and I think that's walking. It could be crawling. I'm not sure. But he was absolute in his diagnosis. He was absolute in his description. He said, I see men, and they look like trees, and they are walking. So if he said, I see men as trees walking, there could not be, if you will, in his mind and his eyes, it could not be distorted because he was too absolute in his description. So why do you believe, Bishop Marvin, that he saw what he saw and that it was not distorted? Because he says one word in the text that gives me a sign that his vision was not distorted. What is that one word he said in the text? He said the word tree. I'm about to deal with that. Because when you look at the word tree in Scripture, when it is attached to a man, it deals with that man being established. It deals with that man being rooted. It deals with that man being grounded. It deals with that man being strengthened. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he meditate both day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So I believe very strongly, beloved brothers and sisters, that when Jesus lays hands on him the first time, that he releases revelation into his mind. He says, you've been blind for so long, but I need you to see who you are in the future. I don't need you to see the position that you've been in for years. I don't need you to see that you was co-mingling and being codependent upon people that don't have the power to deliver you. But once you get up from this situation, you're going to see yourself strengthened. You're going to see yourself established. You're going to see yourself rooted. You're going to see yourself grounded. I don't need you to see the pitiful you. I need you to get a revelation of who I'm about to make you out to be. And some of y'all need to understand that that's why God brought you here this morning. He said, I'm tired of you seeing yourself as less than. I need you to see yourself empowered. I need you to see yourself strengthened. I need you to see yourself strong to tax. The text declares that he spits in the man's face, lays hands on him, and asks him, what did he see? And he said, I see men in the streets walking. Now, I messed up. God, dog it. I done messed up. I forgot I was in a Baptist church. I got to give you all my 3 points. There's three touches in the text. The first touch was when he reached out and took him by the hand. That was a touch, if you will. It was a touch of compassion. Aren't you glad that God had compassion on you? When you should have been written off, he reached for you anyway. The second touch was a touch. I'm going to get you up in a minute. The second touch was a touch of revelation. He said, I need you to see who you are in the future. I don't need you to see who you are right now. I need to see who you are in the future. I need to give you a goal to reach for. I need to give you a zenith to go after. I need to give you a reason for living, because you just came out of some stuff that you wanted to die from. But I need to give you a reason to go on. But then there's a third touch, and the third touch ain't like the first touch, which was of compassion. It's not like the second touch, which was of revelation. But the third touch was a touch of adjustment to practicality. He said, now that I've shown you who you are to become, now I've got to adjust you so that you won't remain so spiritually minded that you know earthly good. I know you want to stay in the spirit realm because of what I showed you. But now I got to adjust you so that you can walk out or walk to what you see. Y'all miss us, I'll go past you. I need you to pursue it. God, help me up in here. Touch somebody, tell them, say, now it's time to pursue it. Some of y'all still looking at me. I said, touch your neighbor and tell them, say, now that you see it, it's time to pursue it. It's not just going to happen, but you've got to make some effort. You've got to go after it. You've got to have a tenacity. You've got to have a mentality that I'm going to get to it by any means necessary. I wonder, is there anybody ready to go after it this morning? Touch somebody, say, I got to go get it. Third touch happens. He touches him, tells him, asks him again, what do you see? Text says he looks up again, and his vision was clear. Now, let me tell you, Bishop Van, and First Lady Van, that verse 22 through 25 was my opening statement. I didn't come to preach 20 through to 25. I came, though, to preach verse 26. Because 26 deals with something that many of us miss. 22 through 25 shows us how to get vision back. 26 shows us how to maintain it. Y'all understand maintenance, don't you? Maintenance. If you have a car, every 4,000, 3,000, 10,000 miles, you have to take it to get maintenance. If you have an apartment, you have to keep it clean. You maintenance it. If you have a house, you got to keep the grass cut. Flower beds clean, pulling the weeds. You understand maintenance. If you have a weave, a full enclosure, you got to get them braids tightened up for the new growth. You understand maintenance. If you have one of those wigs, you've got to get it curled every night. You understand maintenance. You don't go to get a manicure once a year. You go every 2 weeks. You understand maintenance. You don't go get a pedicure once a year. You go to get the pedicure every couple weeks. You understand maintenance.
I
came to preach. 26. If you give me 5 minutes, I promise you, we'll be out of here. The text declares that Jesus gives the man his sight back. He adjusted his vision and his posture. And then after adjusting his vision and his posture, he gives him instructions. He says, go home. Y'all missed it. He said, go home. Y'all missed it. He says, go to your house. My problem, sis, is a very simple one. And if I couldn't read, I wouldn't have a problem with my problem. My problem is, how did he know where home was? He was blind. So how in the world would he know where home was? The only way that he could know where home was is because at some point in his life, he had to be able to see. And somehow, some way, in the vicissitudes of life, in the challenges of life, he lost his vision on the road of life. And I stopped by here to tell you that sometimes in life, you're going to be hit with stuff that's going to cause you to lose your vision. Sometimes you're going to be hit with stuff that's going to cause you not to see properly. But once God gives you back what you have lost, you need to make a decision to go back to the place of origin where you first received it. Touch your neighbor and tell him, go home. Some of y'all still looking at me. I said, touch somebody and say, go home. You may ask, where in the world is home? Home is where the wicked shall cease from troubling. It's where the weary shall be at rest. He tells him to. He says, I want you to go home. But then the text says, it says, go home. But then it says, neither go into the town. He tells him to go home. But then he tells him, don't go into the town. Y'all missed it. He tells him to go home. But then he tells him also, he says, don't go into the town. Which would imply something profound. It would imply that the town that he had been hanging in was not where he was supposed to reside. I can't get no help up in this house. God told me to tell somebody in this house today that once he releases you to go back home, he said you can't go back to what he pulled you out of. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God in his infinite wisdom and knowledge is trying to take me out of some things that I got myself in. And the reason why I got myself in that situation is because I wandered into it blindly. But look at somebody and say, now that I can see, I can't go back. Is there anybody in this house under the sound of my voice that could just touch your neighbor and say, now that I've been delivered, y'all ain't talking to nobody. I said, touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, now that he brought me out, I can't go back. Is there anybody here that's under the sound of my voice that could just look at your neighbor, touch him almost for the last time, tell him, say, now that I see what he delivered me out of, now that I see what he brought me out of, I said, now that I see that he made ways for me, I can't go back. Is there anybody in here that made up your mind today that you can't go back? Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Some of y'all still quiet. I said, touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I can't go back. Say, wait a minute. I'm almost finished. I said, I'm almost done. The first thing he tells him to do is he tells him to go home. The next thing he tells him to do is he says, don't go back into the city. But can I tell you the most important thing? He says, not only go home, not only go back to the city. He said, but don't even talk to anybody in the city. Can I help y'all real fast? Good. Sit me by here to tell you that you have been delivered from explanation. Look at somebody. Tell them for me real fast. Tell them, say, I've been delivered from having to explain why I ain't coming back. Look at somebody else and tell them, neighbor. Some of y'all still quiet. I said, touch your neighbor. Look him in the face real fast. Say, neighbor, I've been delivered. I ain't got to talk about it. I ain't got to explain it. If you don't see me no more, it's all well and fine. God told me. Y'all ain't helping me today. God told me. Y'all still too quiet. God told me to be quiet. Told me to live on. Told me to walk in it. Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice ready to walk in it? Talk to your neighbor. Tell them, say, neighbor. Some of y'all still looking at me. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Some of y'all still looking at me. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Neighbor. I'm walking it out. I'm living in a new level. I'm taking a new step. It's my time. It's my day. It's my year. It's my moment. Say it. Say it. Say it. Wait a minute! I wish I was in a Baptist church. If I was in a Baptist church, like the Baptist church I went to, I would probably try to close like I was in a Baptist church. I would just ask y'all the question, ain't he alright? I said, ain't he alright? Won't he make a way out of no way? If I was in a Baptist church, I would tell you that he was Adam's redeemer. He was Abel's vindicator. If I was in a Baptist church, I would tell you he was Moses' bush on fire. Y'all know him, don't you? If I was in a Baptist church, I would tell you straight up, he's Jehovah Jireh, Nisi, Tiskanu, Eliyahu, Maccadoosh. If I was in a Baptist church, I would tell you that he's Adonai, El Elyon. Y'all ain't talking to me. He's Elohim. If I was in a Baptist church, my grandmama's church, my mama's church, I would tell you straight up, he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. But I gotta let y'all go, cause I gotta get to your song, and I got to get up out of here. But before I sit down, I gotta ask you one more question. Ain't he alright? I said, ain't he alright? 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 I know he's alright. I tried the Lord. He's all right with me. Ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I know he's all right. Tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, I tried the Lord. He's all right with me. Some of y'all still looking at me. I said, touch the person next to you. Touch them for the last time. I tried the Lord. I tried the Lord. I tried the Lord. Listen. Listen. The purpose of adjustment is to get you on the right path. See, Fab Five, you ain't here today. You're not here today, Fab Five, because they invited you. You're here today because God is saying that you done wandered into some places blindly that you should have never wandered into.
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me.
I wish I had a witness tonight
that he saw the best in me.
I guess I'm the only one got this testimony.
When everyone else around me can only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one.
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When God walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
Amen. He saw the best in me. God bless you. Such a good message, such a powerful message. Adjust your sight. Listen, I want to go into our overcomer scripture, our overcomer's prayer on this morning, just as a strength to you, just as an empowerment to you, just as a word of encouragement for you on this morning. To let you know that no matter where you find yourself at in the season of your life, God is not only able, but he is well able to guide you through it. It may not seem like it now, people of God, but know that he is not only able, but well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. He is not only just our king, he is not only just our judge, but he is able to carry us through whatever it is that we're going through. His hand of mercy and grace is not just on our life, but it is in our life. Amen. So on this morning, I want to give to you a word of strength, a word of clarity, a word of joy, that you will be able to go on and continue in the good fight of faith. So just lend me your hearts for a moment as we pray. Gracious and eternal Master, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, God, and just to strengthen the people, God, that is under the sound of our voice. God, there are those that, God, that need to have a better relationship with you, a better connection with you, a better walk with you on this morning, God. God, so we come to you, God, and we ask, God, that you would open up the windows of heaven, God. God, and pour into them that they need right now, God. God, that is clarity. And not only who you are, but whose they are in you. Father, we pray today, God, that you would just step into the room on their behalf, God. God, and give them the ability to stand, and not only just stand, but to withstand, God, in the midst of, God, what they see is going on in their lives. God, you are their God. You are their judge. You are their keeper. God, you are the watchman over their soul. God, you give unto them that they need, Father, to continue in this fight this good fight of faith. God, that they don't get weary in well doing. Father God, that they don't faint, God. God, in this time, God, that you have established and set, God, and orchestrated in their lives on today. Father, we ask that you would gird them in a way only like you know how. Father, there are those under the sound of our voices this morning that desire to give their lives to you. So, Father, we pray for them, and we give them the Romans 10 and 9, God, scripture that said if they confess with their mouth and believe in their hearts, God, that you died and that you raised from the dead, that they will be saved, Father. So we extend to them this opportunity, God, as they come before you today to give their lives. Now, there are those that understand my voice right now, Father, God, that has not made that transition, that has not made that shift, that is not prepared to make that shift, that is not prepared to make that transition. But, Father, we pray, God, that you would touch them now, God, and keep them safe, God. Let them know in the urgency of their urgency, God, that they need to make the decision, Father, to be in the right place at the right time, Father God, and give their life, God. God, that this time is winding up, God, and this is borrowed time, Father God. God, this ain't permanent time. This is something that we're borrowing, and we need to hurry up, God. We need to make haste, Father, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we pray, God, that these people of God would make haste, Father, as quickly as possible. God, we thank you right now, God, for wisdom, power, and understanding, knowledge, hope, and joy, God, that they're able, God, to do, God, what you have said and orchestrated for them to do. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus is our prayer. And the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. Now we have three keys we want to share with those of you all that gave your life. First off, get your Bible, because you're going to need the weapons for your warfare, and that's going to be your word. The next thing is get into a church. Now, with the pandemic going on, I understand that there's a lot of leeriness in going into the building. But please understand that when you go, make sure that you go with the understanding that you need to continue to mask up, continue to sanitize your hands, continue to practice the social distancing, continue to practice good sense in this thing that we are going into and going through right now. Amen. So please make sure you do that. Secondly, make sure that preacher, pastor that you are under, make sure that pastor is preaching the word and living the word that he's preaching. Amen. Make it just as plain and simple as possible. That word that he's preaching, make sure that's what his life looks like outside the church. Amen. Make sure that he is doing what he's saying to what he's telling you to do. He's practicing what he preached in my very white voice. Amen. Make sure he's living the life that you need to live. Amen. So those are our three keys. Also, those of you all who would like to sow into the body on this morning, please make sure that you go to your Cash App. You can do so by going to $WGC2020. Again, that's $WGC2020. And you can also go to your PayPal. If you guys have PayPal, it's paypal.me/worldwidegc. Again, that is paypal.me/worldwidegc. You can go there. You can also go to your Zelle. That's the Zelle app that's on your phone. You can go there. And you can sow from there. And those numbers are 832-816-7933. Again, that's 832-816-7933. Or you could go to 832-816-7997. Either one of those ways you can get in contact with us and sow your seed. God bless you. Thank you so much. We love you. And know that God is not just able, but he is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Y'all have a fantastically blessed day, and we look forward to you guys joining us again on next week for our broadcast, Man Up Monday, Testimony Tuesday, Wisdom New Word Wednesday, also our Women's Day Thursday, and again, right back on here, we'll fall in on Freestyle Friday. God bless you. We love you. And we look forward to you guys joining us and being a part of this great worldwide gospel connection movement. We love you. Be blessed.